Welcome to the Spin Access Podcast. This is Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Tyson Deskins.
I'm Sean Webb's bigger brother.
Mike Granato. Mike Granato is joining us for this episode from Athletic Motion Golf. We're going to jump right into it. These are instructional pet peeves. They might not necessarily apply to, they apply to every golfer really out there. We're going to talk about some of the things that we as instructors kind of have pet peeves with. Okay. Mike and I came up with a list just to be straightforward. Jason and Tyson, if you disagree with any of these, let us have it.
Yep.
Happy to have that discussion. The first one that I think we might all agree with is the idea that there are effortless golf swings.
Yeah.
I want to generate effortless speed.
Yeah, I hear it every day. And like 135 miles an hour, I promise you, takes a lot of effort. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love that. It's a great catchphrase. Something to awesome to post on social media. But I think I heard someone interviewing Jake Knapp once, and they asked him, they're like, how soft are you swinging? He's like, I'm not. I'm ripping at it.
Yep.
This one, and we've actually used effortless in videos before because it's a feel, right? And, you know, I swing at 80% when I play my best. Like, no one's ever swung the driver at 80%.
No.
Those guys, you know, I remember the first time that I was on the range next to VJ. You see players like that on TV, it looks so syrupy and effortless on video, especially on a broadcast. And then when you stand next to them, it's like, holy cow, they're getting after
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I ask people to swing at 40% all the time, and they don't swing at 80%.
No. Never.
No. I'll take it.
It's 2 mile an hour slower.
Right. Or faster sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes.
I, in fact, had a guy today, the first time ever, I asked the guy to slowly speed up, like go up through the speed ladder, and he was actually swinging too slow.
That's so rare.
And I asked him, I said, is that 50% speed?
Did he have like a horn?
Yeah. No, I was dead serious. I was shocked. And he's like, well, I was worried I wasn't doing it well enough.
Good for him. Put his picture on the wall.
He would have gotten your $100, Mike.
Yes, he would have. It took a girl to get that $100, by the
way. I would have gotten $100. I would have swung at 2 miles an hour. I would have taken me 47 seconds to make a golf swing, but I'm really thrifty, so.
Yeah.
Mike left and got some Taco Bell and came back.
This extends to the idea for me. I'm not a big fan. It's a little bit of the Manuel De La Torre type, you know, let your arms follow the body type thing. Like, you know, just turn and let the arms kind of go. Your arms need to do stuff, because if your arms didn't do stuff, they would just keep falling farther and farther behind until your body slowed down, and then they'd kind of catch up, but it'd be way after impact by the time they finally got anywhere near where they should go. Your arms need to do a bunch of stuff.
For sure.
In a golf swing. There's no, I just swing and let my arms kind of get dragged along by my chest.
Leave your arms up and rotate.
Passive.
Yeah. Well, that too. Well, if you have to lift your arms, you got to lower them, right? And lifting requires some effort, because you know what? There's gravity.
That's too much work. Just keep that.
That's way too much work.
That's too much work. Fred Couples, a long time ago, it was long enough ago that Stephanie Sparks was interviewing him, I think, on Playing Lessons with the Pros. And Fred Couples also had a syrupy swing that people loved to watch Fred Couples swing. Boom Boom was his name. He hit the ball far, but his swing was admired by many for having a good tempo.
For sure.
And a good rhythm and a good flow, whatever you want to call it. And Stephanie's like, okay, so from the top, you know, you get to here, what are you doing? He goes, I'm swinging as hard as I freaking can. He's like, I'm putting everything into this thing. Like, she's like, what? Like, you have such a smooth... He's like, I'm trying to hit the ball far. I didn't earn the nickname Boom Boom for nothing. You know, I'm trying to rip at this thing.
Yeah.
I'm putting everything I have into that downswing.
I think maybe.
Yeah.
It's not effortless. There's effortful.
Yeah. I think what makes swings look effortless and smooth and like that silky smooth, like you were just talking about, is sequencing.
Yeah.
I think when the sequence is.
And a little bit of balance.
Yeah. Like if you look at other sports, like I did a little boxing way back when. And man, the guys that just look like they were floating and throwing were so sequenced versus, you know, the kind of the street fight guy that just wailing away at it, which is how most of the swing of golf club, right? It's those Sam Sneeds Sam Sneed was moving it and he was like a ballerina out
there. Yeah, completely agree with that.
My second pet peeve on the list, when you're in a lesson and the instructor says, watch me. Watch me do this. I'm going to hit a cut. I'm going to hit a draw. I'm going to hit high. Watch what I do. And then they just make a full speed swing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will admit that I occasionally say, watch me. And you know what I do? I go really slow. And if I have someone that's swinging 10 degrees to the right and I want them to swing to the left, I swing like 26 degrees to the left.
Exactly.
Okay. Or if they're swinging to the left already, I'll swing 35 degrees to the right. That's really tough to hit the golf ball. But I hit a foam ball. The quad will still pick it up. Right. I still get a path number and they'll be like 35 degrees because it's 35 degrees. I usually hit like 5 degrees up because I bounce the club into the ball.
Yeah.
But I swung 35 degrees out. Okay. I'll be like, this is what you need to do. Something like that. Don't say, watch me, and then hit your normal golf swing. Because your normal golf swing is probably not doing any of the things that you're trying to get that person to do. It's just your normal golf swing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nor can they see it at that speed anyway.
Yeah. This is, I think you're dead on. We demonstrate all the time in lessons, but it's like, okay, I want you to go this slow. Mm-hmm. I want you to make a full swing and go 40 miles an hour. I want, you're going to feel like this path goes 20 to the right, and you hit a 20 into out path, and you do things like you want to see them emulate, but it's not taking just a full cut at it and just make sure it fades, kind of DJ's lesson.
Case of pace. Number one rule.
Yeah.
I think my favorite is demonstrating that full, like an entirely full golf swing, but at 1% speed, where, I start moving off the golf ball and then I look at them and I'm like staring dread into their eyes and I'm talking as I'm completing the rest of the swing. And they're like, what is going to happen here? You know what I mean? And then you hit the ball and it just rolls to the screen. I'm like, that's how fast I want you to swing. And they're like, oh gosh. Okay. I was a little too fast.
Yeah. I would say the kissing cousin of this one would be, I can't slow down. I can't swing slow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if you can't swing slow, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to change if you can't just not swing fast?
I
hit a 40-yard shot.
Yeah. Right. It's funny. I often talk about it. If you taught any other sport, like how people learn golf, it would be just comical, because you have to think about where people usually learn the sport. They learn when they're a kid. And so if you took, let's go into hockey, if you took a 5 and 6 year old
who was
just starting, because I like hockey. And if you took that kid and you went, all right, you're going to go play hockey. And in your back of your head as an adult, you'd be like, yeah, they're going to play against other 5 and 6 year olds. That's not what golf is. You're taking that 5 and 6 year old kid and shoving them out with like
still 4 1/4
junior A players in a game at full speed and going, all right, survive out there.
Yeah.
And that's how golfers are learning to golf. Why are we doing that?
I remember the first time I was ever on ice skates was, I just gotten out of college. So peak condition, I've never felt more unathletic. It felt like what a newborn deer must feel like. I'm like, how in the world did you pick this up if you're not a kid? Because kids were flying around me and I was trying to grab them to hold on. And it just looked so effortless.
Right.
Yep.
That newborn deer, though, like it figures it out in about like 5 minutes, though. It's crazy.
I didn't figure it out in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Human babies were like, it's a year old. Maybe it'll walk soon. And that horse, it's true. Like, it's not walking. It's been 5 minutes. What's wrong with this horse? Well, hey, we need to be more like the humans there, I guess, but
yeah,
because we are. Next one on my list, relying on feels to teach others.
Mm.
This goes in a couple ways. You need to feel this,
mm-hmm.
or Tiger Woods said, he feels like he does that. Do that. Do that thing.
Yeah.
Man, I have a video I posted. I'll probably post it again, where Tiger Woods is talking to Riggs from Barstool. And it was, all right, here's how to hit this shot. You want to grab this club. I think he's like, you want to grab your 50 degree because it's got no leading edge. And then you want to be really shallow, come from the inside. That's how you're going to clip it. I was like, oh, interesting. And then he actually showed the motions and everything was the opposite of what he just verbalized to Riggs. And so then Riggs is already too shallow, right?
Yeah.
So then he just told him to be more shallow and then he fatted it and he's like, oh, I decelled. I'm like, no, there's no decel. Your club is already going to be into the ground.
Yeah.
The ground decelerated you because of your bad motions from bad coaching. But that's only on Tiger because he's just relaying stuff that he heard from other people that didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah. It's
And I hear it all the time, right? From better players when they're trying to help their buddies that aren't as good. They're just telling their buddies what they are feeling. And the reality is then you get them on data, you get them on video, and they're not even doing what they think they're feeling, but then they're telling their buddy to feel that. It's just a mess, right?
Yeah. And it's the opposite of what his buddy needs to feel.
Yeah. Exactly right.
I tell people all the time, your feels, all of us have said this in various forms, your feels are going to change and drift over time. I prefer my players. Some people say, oh, he's a mechanics teacher. Oh, he's a field teacher. Everyone that's good should understand the mechanics of what you're trying to do. You can't just teach people based on feels only, because I've told this, I've had back-to-back lessons where they had to do the same thing mechanically. Their feels were almost the exact opposite of each other.
Sure.
I don't know why, whatever. You know, there are some percentage of players that when you say they twist the club more across the line, they feel like it's more laid off.
Yep.
That makes no sense to me. I don't get it, but like, that's what it works for them. So, you know, I've been on the range, I think I just told this recently, where I'm saying lay it off more, because for that player, that gets them more across the line.
Yep.
And someone watching that lesson is like, what the heck is going on over there? But it works for that player because I'm using their feels in the moment. But mechanically, they know they have to get it more across the line because it's too laid off. I don't want them to actually get across the line, but it was super laid off. So they had to feel like it moved in that direction. I prefer my players to derive their own feels from doing the mechanics properly. You can do that in a mirror. You can do it on a camera. Just move in the way, maybe slightly exaggerated, that you need to move better. And see what it feels like. What does this feel like today?
Yeah. I think you're describing what you do when the player's in front of you, right? The player's like, man, I've got to feel my toes cross to do that. Man, that's your feel then.
Yep.
But then we're not going to go shoot a YouTube video to get the club on plane. You got to cross your toes. We have to explain the actual real movements, hoping and stressing and emphasizing that just do those movements and then be aware of what that feels like for you.
Yep.
I mean, we all four have got different injury histories, different upbringings, different everything. And there's no way we're going to have the same feel for everything. But with the players in front of you, you can go crazy on it. Feels like you said, feel the opposite of what's actually happening, because that's unique to that player. But if you're sending out content to the masses,
right,
it gets sketchy. And that's maybe my biggest pet peeve is that. I mean, YouTube's great for the comments.
Like, yeah.
We'll do a video. We'll think we just uncovered one of the secrets of the swing in the first comment. Give me a feel to make this happen. It's like, oh man, we would be so rich if we could just give you a feel for making all of that just happen.
Yeah. I've always said, okay, feel a good golf swing.
Yeah.
There you go. Feel a good golf swing. And then you're cured.
That's what I've been missing.
Well, and it's like you said though, Mike, sometimes with that player in front of you, the only option you have is to go as extreme as you possibly can.
Yeah.
You know, because that player can't feel what it is that you're trying to help them do, right? So, but that's not going to work for the masses.
No, and I think a tool like the Swing Coach has been super valuable for that. I mean,
for sure.
I don't think I've ever seen my swing on the course, like from a technically analyzed camera angle. Sure, my wife's taking a picture when we were on vacation or something, back when she used to go ride in the car. Those days are gone. Until I got the Swing Coach app, and what I felt I was doing and what I was actually doing were miles apart on the course. And to feel what I feel in practice had to be way over exaggerated. But you've got that anchor in the reality, and that's the main thing.
Yep.
Yeah, and the nice thing about that is, because a camera's great, but before you'd record a video, you'd walk over, you'd hit stop, you'd have to like scrub through the video to see whatever. You don't get the immediate like steep by 2, shallow by 4, head back by 17. No, it doesn't go to 17, but you get the idea. You don't get the immediate feedback where you can just be like, okay, and then immediately make another swing. So that's been good about that.
Yep.
The next one on the list, this is from a student and a teacher side, but we'll talk more from the teacher side. Ground reaction force stuff without either owning plates or really having been on them much, or understanding basic physics. Okay. The physics of it are not, it's not that complicated, but it's often almost backwards of what a lot of people's intuition is. For example, if you say, if you're standing on 2 force plates, and we know the answer to this, and you say, shift 100% of your pressure to your left foot for at least half a second. What all of us are going to do, if we think about it for 1 second, is immediately just pick up our right foot and then we're going to fall on our face right to the side. But for that time, all of our pressure and force will be on that under the left foot.
Yep.
What people do is push themselves to the left, which spikes the pressure under the right foot.
Other way.
So there's a lot of counterintuitive stuff, and I get that. Okay. But when you're talking with some people, it's clear that they haven't spent much time on force plates.
For sure.
And I've seen lessons given. I was shadowing a guy one time, and he was trying to get the person to increase his vertical force in the downswing with his front leg, right? And so the kid, I say kid, I think he was 18 or 17 or something, was kept basically like stomping down into the ground, like just basically landing harder, right? Almost like he was trying to like really squish a bug or something like that. But he was doing the down. When you're going down, you're actually unweighting. And then, yes, when you slow yourself down from going down, then you can kind of spike the pressure. But I said, I honestly, he watched the kid do this for like 10 or 12 minutes and didn't say anything. And I was a little bit blown away. And this was last lesson of the day that I was there for, like out of 7 hours. So I said, do you mind if I say something? And I said, I want you to like kick the ground, like punch the ground with your foot, like push hard that way. The next swing, he did that. I think he thinned it off the toe or something, but he did that. And his vertical force went to 195% or something, like just instantly spiked up there. He's like, oh. And the instructor was like, see, now you got it. I was like, okay, yep, now we got it. Okay, it's
just that's what I've been telling you to do for the last half hour.
Right, yeah, fine. He's a good overall instructor, but I don't know. Maybe he was a little tired at the end of the day or something. But people don't understand ground reaction forces well, especially if they don't have.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah, I would say one step further is, man, you really want to understand them, use them with 3D. And I think Dr. Kwan recently said, like, if the forces, the ground forces are moving poorly, it's your body that's moving poorly. Mm. Like, that's how we change ground forces, not just push more into the ground. That's,
yeah.
Like you said, Eric, what you talked about at the beginning, we've done forever. I'll usually stand in front of the player and kind of put my hand up against their left shoulder. Like, I'm not going to let them put all their mass on the front foot, so they really push into that hand instead of just picking up the opposite foot. And
yeah,
and if you just understand where the body goes, man, the force, the body creates the force.
Yeah, I love doing feeding the faults for a lot of my students, where instead of like, what again, it's counterintuitive, you'd be like, no, I don't want you to win, and I'll push them the opposite way.
Yeah.
And so they got to push against me, and I'm like, okay, and then I get out of the way. And then I show them what it looks like. And they're like, oh, that's what I need to feel like. I'm like, yeah. There you go. Like, win that. Don't let me win.
You need that light bulb with ground forces. Because like at Derek's point, it's so counterintuitive a lot of times. Because it's that reaction force which kind of creates a lot of confusion.
Yeah, that's what we're measuring.
Yeah.
So even on the downswing, your front foot has to push toward the golf ball.
Yeah.
And I'm like, people will be like, so I want to push my foot. I'm like, yeah, but your foot doesn't move because it's on the ground, right? The only thing that moves is your hip, right? Or something. It goes the other way, right? It's tough to explain it. And I'm probably could get better at explaining it to people. I mean, I do a lot of demonstrations, you know, they push back in a chair and all kinds of other things.
Cereal boxes.
I have a slide board that I use with people. What's that?
Cereal boxes.
Yeah, cereal boxes, right? We have furniture sliders that we use and stuff like that. But it's a tough thing for people to get their minds around as students. It's really tough to get your mind around it when you're an instructor that doesn't use them. And like Mike said, doesn't use them with 3D as well.
Well, and I think, you know, Eric, you and I have talked about this a number of times. And to Mike's point, I think when you start to understand sort of how the body movement correlates to ground reaction forces, a lot of times I'll see a student and I'm like, well, this isn't actually a force plate lesson, but I'm going to make their ground reaction forces better by the end of this lesson, because I'm going to make them move more efficiently throughout the body, which is going to actually improve those ground reaction forces, right? So why would I go through trying to explain vertical torque and AP force and all these things if I can simply make them move better and increase better efficiency from the ground? Like, to me, that's a win-win.
Yeah, I've said this a number of times. I will, when someone comes for like a half day or a full day, I'll put them on gears, right? I get some captures. I look at it real quick. I put them on force plates. I probably know what I'm going to see on the force plates. Mm-hmm. We go through the force plates. We go through the gears. I kind of turn the force plates off often.
Yep.
Teach them on gears for 2 hours or something like that, you know, with some breaks and, you know, some time to think. And we work on improving their motion during the whatever it is, right? Pelvis thrust, the timing of when they kind of shift back and forth, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then I throw them on force plates again at the end and take like two captures. Yeah. Stuff's way better.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, there you go. Here's some more proof that you move better. Not only did the gear stuff look better, but how you use the ground is better because of that. And it happens all the time.
It's funny. We've been doing force plate videos for a while and no one cared. It'd be like, they would get no views, no comments. Just, it was so abstract. And then now it's cool to see it kind of come back in popularity or get popular now. And we'll have players come in, know we have force plates, and like, oh, I got to get a force play lesson. They'll come in, and this is PGA Tour players too. So what you've been working on, man, I've really been working on my ground forces and really getting my verticals better. Really, what kind of plates do you have? Oh, I don't use plates. Before we capture one swing, you're going to see some jacked up body movements. You always do.
Mm, yep.
And you know, you'll show them, you're like, okay. And then you don't mention it again until the end. Like, okay, that last swing you made, this is what your ground forces are now. Cause you're just moving your body better. It's like,
yeah,
it's hard to fake the ground. So you can't just have horrific body movements and awesome ground forces and yep. not get the ball to go right. where you want to go.
Right.
Right. Yep.
The ground is, I like to say, just an inert platform. What we're measuring is what your body's doing. The ground's just there. It's yep. just resisting
just friction.
Moving anything.
Yep.
Right. I've yet to meet a player who can generate enough vertical force that the earth actually shifts. Maybe it'll happen someday.
Chuck Norris is no longer with us.
He's not. Right. The last one I have here, long time pet peeve. I mean, for a while, this is all we had. In an age when we have 3D, whether you want to look at, you know, kind of faked 3D with cameras kind of faking some 3D a little bit, or actual 3D systems, of which there are plenty, including, of course, Gears. But people that rely on 2D images or video over 3D data.
It's 2026.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's not 1996 anymore. I think, again, just having an understanding of what the 3D data is telling us and what does that look like in 2D is better than just ignoring that 3D exists and saying, well, when I measure it in 2D, this is what I measure it. And I think it's one of my things I think is wild that these guys continue to try to make up sort of fake data based on a 2D image. I find it mind boggling.
You're not measuring anything in 2D. There's no measurements that are happening.
They try. You can make up your own. You can draw your lines and make up your own math however you want. That doesn't mean that it's real. Doesn't mean that it's correct.
No, it's we get that comment a lot on YouTube, and I've yet to get a response when I've asked this question to whoever's commenting. What other profession do you hire where you do not want them to use measurement tools?
Mm, right.
You want to go take your car to my car that just eyeballs it or listens to it? Do you want to take your money to an accountant that doesn't use Quicken or calculators? Or you want to go to a doctor who doesn't measure? Like, these are just tape measures.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all we're using is tape measures.
Feels like you should pay this much money to the IRS.
You know, looks like your heart rate's...
you should feel what you should pay, right? That's a great way to do it. I'm in for that.
Yeah.
2D images have a lot of problems. You did a nice presentation on just even the focal length of the camera affecting how things look. One of the biggest things that I work with in students is like trail arm bend. At the top of the backswing in 2D, this, which maybe is a good arm position, you can't see it on the audio podcast, could look the same as this in 2D, and I've pulled my right arm against my side and bent my right elbow a ton. That can look the same in 2D.
Yeah.
Right. If you're looking down the line camera view, that can look the same because it's one plane, right? 2D, that we're losing that depth dimension. We exist in 3D. Most of us do anyway, assuming this isn't the Matrix.
Hopefully.
So hopefully. So why not use 3D? 2D can mess with you. Like I've seen 2D images from a group of people, and just looking at the ball position clearly tells you that this was shot from a weird angle.
Yes.
Like that player does not play his driver near his back foot. I'm sorry. But to like,
be fair now, that's the father of 3D showing you those 2D images.
Right.
So
you got to allow for that expertise.
A little bit of inside joke there, but yeah.
I love it.
2D images, not representative of how we are in the world. I sell software and have sold software for about 15 years that does 2D images and drawing lines and all that.
For sure.
It's a useful tool in the toolbox.
Yes.
Because I can look at a face-on view and show the person their right elbow used to be here.
Yep.
And now it's over there.
Yep.
That's different. They've turned more. You can see that.
Right.
I can't tell you how much more you've turned. I can guess and estimate. Maybe 20 degrees more turn. Whatever. I don't care what the actual number is, they can see that they've turned more in a video because I'm very consistent with my camera angles also, right? I'm not playing tricks with that stuff, but it has its limits, right? And when we're talking about what the golfer actually does in the golf swing, it behooves students and instructors to have an understanding of what happens in 3D. In the lesson, I exist in 3D with the students so I can see that their elbow went over there, right? And I can say, your elbow went over there, right? We need it to be over here. And then confirm that, right, with them in 3D. Anyway, thanks for joining us, Mike. Where can people find you?
Athletic Motion Golf, YouTube channel, Instagram, website. Just type those in and Google search it and you'll probably find us.
Like and subscribe. You guys put out 2 or 3 videos every week that are all worth watching.
Yeah, we're up to 3 now. Yeah.
Yep, all worth watching.
Can't recommend the Swing Coach app enough for players either, so go check that out.
It's so such a cool tool to use if you're into practicing.
Jason, where can people find us?
You can find us online at thespinaxis.com, and you can find us on all social media platforms at thespinaxis.
Thanks for joining, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Mike. Enjoy it.
Appreciate it.